Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and welcome to another edition of our Life by Life West. Today, of course, I'm joined by my co-host, my bride, my money manager, my everything in life, Dr. Mary Oberstein. Mary, good to see you.
You too.
And we got a great guest with us tonight. You're going to love her energy, love her passion for chiropractic and just for life in general. We've got Dr. Kim Thor Adams. Welcome, Dr. Kim.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, we're thrilled. And before we jump in, I'm just going to tell the audience a little bit about you. So Dr. Kim graduated. She's from Nebraska, graduated from Palmer Davenport in 2009, about 15 years ago. After graduation, went back to, actually went out to Thousand Oaks and did a preceptorship in California and bright lights and movie stars and all that stuff. And you happen to catch your husband, right? You found your husband there. And he says that you kidnapped him and put him in a car, but we know that's not true, in the truck and drove him back to Nebraska. But they've been back in Nebraska for 15 years and they're 15 years. And Dr. Kim's a chiro kid and her brother's a chiropractor. Her father's a chiropractor, went back into the family practice for about 6.5 years and then said, you know what? I'm ready. I'm just going to go do my own thing. And now she has her own practice and multiple businesses, and which we'll get into, but just doing amazing, amazing things. And she's from Norfolk, Nebraska, which I happen to be in. Dr. Kim's office is a cool office. It's right on Main Street. It's so trendy. It was really cool, man. What a cool town. And just doing great things. She's part of the ICPA. She lectures at conferences, you know, throughout the country. And she spends time with our students over in at our Nebraska, our Omaha campus, or Bellevue campus. And she's also an author. She's authored two books, which we'll see if we can get into or not with the time we have, but very accomplished, 15 years in, and she's going to be a leader in our profession, no doubt. So that was the intro. It didn't sound like a eulogy, correct? We did all right with that, but let's talk. Let's talk about what's up. So Mary, you want to start?
Yes. Well, of course, the first question, especially being a chiro kid, is I want to ask, when you decided to become a chiropractor, was there like one moment where you said, this is for me? Or was it just this gradual evolution where you just were like, of course, that's what I'm going to do?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, you know, like when you're little, your parents say you should do this and you're like, okay, that's cool. So that was kind of my mindset, like I should just be a chiropractor. So I was a big nerd in high school. So Creighton University in Omaha gave me a half off scholarship and I took it because who says no to that, right? And at Creighton, I took a marketing class and I had to make a commercial. And so my friend and I were like, oh, I have a headache. You could take Tylenol or you could get adjusted. And something clicked inside of myself, like this would be really cool. I could heal people naturally with my hands. And then I thought I could do it because it would be cool. You know, so then I went to Palmer and I guess I'll just jump right in. At Palmer, I got pregnant and I gave birth to twins and they only lived a half an hour. Mm-hmm. And so in that moment, I realized that the moments that I have left on this earth are meant to be lived with purpose. And being a chiropractor is not all about being cool, even though it is pretty cool. It's about using the gifts and the talents that I've been giving to make a difference in the world. So I'm very glad I chose what I chose.
Wow. That's amazing. Wow. Amazing story. You know, and obviously you went back, you went to Thousand Oaks for your preceptorship, right? And probably learned a ton of stuff, you know, much different bright lights in the city, so to speak, you know, for the quote unquote country girl, right? But your pull was to go back to Nebraska, huh?
Yeah, Yeah, I think it helped to find my significant other, you know, because in a small town, the pool is small. But it did help me with confidence and with talking to strangers and with marketing, you know, at giant events in California. But, you know, home is where the heart is. And so we moved back to Nebraska.
Wow.
And then for our viewers who know this, like your dad started practice there, right? And then your brother graduated before you, is that correct? And then,
After me,
oh,
but
after
yeah.
you. Oh, so
After
you
me.
went first. You went there
Yep.
first, and then your brother came in, right?
Yep.
And your dad was pretty much raised there, right?
Yes.
And your mom from one area, that same area, right? So you've got deep roots. What's it like? Like people come in and they go, oh, I knew you when you were in mom's belly kind of deal, you know?
For sure. Sometimes at the grocery store, I wear a hat because I want to be a little incognito. Because if I don't see patients everywhere, you know, I see people that knew my granddad. Like, even I just had a tax planning meeting at the accountant and his boss. I remember your grandpa in the cowboy hat, you know, but it's everywhere. But I see it now as a positive, you know, if you're in the right mood for it, it's a positive. But it does help with marketing. If patients know your family, they're more able to trust you. And then they believe what you say even easier. So it's a little bit less work for me to get referral patients in.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, that makes sense because it's like you're not brand new.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm sure they hear the name.
Yeah.
Was your grandpa's name Thor? Is that the right side of the family?
Yes, and he was big into real estate, so it
Oh
was pretty fun
gosh.
to hear stories. Yeah.
Oh.
And on the other side of that, you broke my window when you were 6 years old and you know, or whatever. I remember how, you know,
Yeah.
that kind of
They're
thing. Even
usually more general, like, oh, I heard some things about you, and you never really know what they mean, and I don't want to ask. So you're like, oh, yeah, okay, well, nice to see you, you know?
But you know what, that for our viewers, you know, if you're not from a small town, that's what happens in a small town. Like everyone, you know, kind of knows certain things that you might not know, and you growing up there know how to manage it, right? And you know, but there is a certain way to manage it, you know. It's amazing. But I've got a question for you because I know that you know, you were in an insurance practice, and then when you opened your own practice, you went total cash, you know. And let's talk about that because I mean, there's so many people doing cash. Our three daughters, two of them are doing cash. One, I think, or maybe two, does membership, and the other, but our one daughter does everything, right? You know, Lauren, they have insurance in the office. They have all kinds of stuff, I believe. I haven't asked her actually for years, but yeah, I don't know, Mary, but you know, at one point, I think they did. But is what was it like? What was the transition like? What did you see? And what can you share with us?
Yeah, when I took insurance, I'd see about 300 a week and I wouldn't really sit down. I was very busy and I really loved and still love seeing kids in the office. And a lot of times, Medicaid in Nebraska, a lot of them are children. So I'd see a lot of Medicaid kids. And eventually, it just got to be a realization that the philosophy didn't jive. I would like to adjust people how often and how thorough as I'd like to. And insurance gave me parameters, and I didn't like that. And so that just kind of built up with time. And then when I decided to start my own office, it was kind of a quicker thing than I anticipated it being. And when you go to get signed up on insurance on your own, it takes a hot minute, whether you're fresh out of school or not, or starting a new business. So I just decided to do the cash route because it jived well, resonated well with my philosophy of natural health care and taking care of the whole person as often as I'd like to without parameters. Also, my adjustment's pretty dang good, I guess. That's what people tell me. So I upped my prices significantly. So in the beginning, when I started, cash, check, credit card, and people would come in the door and they would reschedule and they would bring their family members and their neighbors. So then I realized that I don't need insurance, you know, and it takes a little while, and you can't help everyone you used to help. And some people get crabby about it. And so now I don't see any Medicare, Medicaid. I only do cash, based, and then I don't have to worry as much about what I say, how I treat a patient, or my prices for that matter. And it increased my confidence also, I think, being able to be cash and being able to be a little more expensive. And I don't have that in the back of my head. What would the insurance come back and say if this took place or not? So I feel like I can take better care of people and be more focused without having to think about any of that other stuff.
Well, that you answered my question because I was going to ask you, do people call in and say, do you take Medicaid? Or like, so you, none of those people, I mean, either they come in and pay cash or they go somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't even take cash from Medicare, Medicaid because Nebraska's laws are odd and I charge too much for what the reimbursement rate would be, which I guess is a good problem. So I like to word it, you could go see my little brother. Would you like his phone number? He'll take your insurance.
That's great. That's great.
That's great.
And when you're doing that, like, you know, obviously you take care of a lot of kids in your practice, and I was in your practice and saw I saw families in there, you know, and it was beautiful. But you have family pro you have family prices.
I use a super bill so they can mail a paper to get reimbursed from their insurance. So I never ever discount. I don't have any memberships. When I started and took insurance back in the day, I followed a doctor around who had been in practice for a long time, and then he retired. So I get a lot of grandkids and great grandkids of people that have been adjusted for their whole entire life. So it's really cool that they get it already and they understand the value in it. And so they're able to hold their adjustment pretty sticking good compared to like a car accident patient or someone who's never experienced chiropractic before. So I don't have to see them as often as I would because they're already maintained, which is pretty cool. So they just pay cash, check, credit card, and the treatment plan options of which I deem necessary.
I love it.
And do you take care of if there's somebody gets a car accident, one of your people get in a car accident, will you take care of them?
I will take a work comp and a car accident case. Yeah, even a new patient, I will, as long as they're not a Medicare or Medicaid patient.
Okay.
So I've got a question because, you know, being from a small town, and I was never in a small town. I practiced outside of Boston at one point, and it was a provincial, you know, there was maybe 13,000 people in this area, but everyone bled everywhere. So it wasn't like it just was here, you know, not like Norfolk. So, you know, the MDs in town and the other doctors in town, you know, talk about the relationships that you have and you know, that kind of stuff.
So my other brother that we didn't mention yet is actually an orthopedic surgeon in Omaha. So there are some differences and some differences in philosophies and education that we just don't talk about because we still want to be friends, you know. But I think that helped me a lot being able to conversate with whomever is in my office. I do have medical doctors that come in as patients and they bring me their children too. And sometimes I get surprised that their philosophy is a little more similar to mine than I expect it to be, which is great. But I do have a lot of friends from high school and college that chose the medical route. Even the radiologist that read an x-ray for me this morning went to high school with me. So that's pretty cool to call and be able to conversate about it, you know, and it's really nice to adjust a medical doctor. I have a couple of surgeons that come in and one of them is the assistant. And so the table's set for the tall doctor and or for the short doctor, and he is taller, and so his head has to go down. And it's really cool to adjust him and for him to be like, wow, I'm walking out pain-free. It took a lot longer at the other chiropractor. I'm going to tell everybody to see you. And then I'll get like an RN that comes in, and I'm like, so how'd you hear about my office? Well, at the hospital, they say you're the one to go to. I'm like, all right, I'm going to take that. You know, I don't really like to try very hard anymore because I don't have to, like marketing events, advertising, whatnot. I have a billboard because it's fun and everybody knows me. My kids hate it because their friends talk about it, you know, but I don't really try too much with marketing and advertising. I really like a current patient to be so stinking blown away that they go tell the whole hospital to go see me. So that's how I try to do it.
Oh, man.
Okay. So I have like burning questions.
I love it, Mary. What's up?
I'm still like, it still blows me away when you talked about your fee system, like that there's no, like, I'm sure Ron's feeling the same way, right, Ron?
Possibly. I want to hear your question.
Okay. So my question is, I want to know one, like how many staff members do you have? Because it sounds like with just having no, like even just the fee schedule of just like, it's a price, you just pay it.
And you can have a great day, Mary. Yep.
You don't need a lot of staff for that.
No, I have an office manager. She's been with me for 2.5 years. She's so awesome. Like the day she didn't come in because her sister was getting married, I didn't know where stuff was. I'm like, I don't know how to do this. I'll just ask her when I get back. And then we hired she's a young lady, but she's 17. She's a senior in high school, wants to be a chiropractor. So we're talking life west in Omaha, of course. But she's working my Saturday mornings as she goes to school. And she just got a scholarship at the community school here in town for choir. So she came came in my office and had the face of like, I'm going to put in my notice to quit. And she goes, can I work for you for 2 more years? Because I'm going to be in town on Saturdays. So I was like, yes, you can. So we have technically an office manager and a chiropractic assistant. I have 3 massage therapists that rent also in my space, you know, and sometimes it's, I've been here 8 years. So like we had a IV person that came in to give fluids. We had a mental health practitioner. We had an acupuncturist. We've had some other people dabble, but right now that's what I've got.
Wow.
Mary, the space is unbelievable. I mean, the office, it's chic. It's like, it is just really cool. Right on Main Street. So like you park right on Main Street. And it's not like this like old kind of like, you know, rundown town. I mean, it's hip and there's a lot of stuff happening. Coffee shops right there. And it's like being like in Beverly Hills. I got that kind of feeling. That's serious, really. And you walk in and it's like, you know, right next to you is either across the street or next to you is a really cool like clothing boutique that I saw. It was just like, it is so cool. And when you walk in, it's kind of like, whoa, you know, because Main Street has older buildings, but it's just it's just incredible. It's a beautiful, beautiful space.
I can't wait. Yeah, like when my grandpa was little, it was a very cool downtown and then it kind of got run down and now it's on the up and up again. But the really cool part is like, it's not complicated. If you say I'm downtown, they know what that means. Mm-hmm. And next to me, there's a hotel that someone just bought for multi-millions that they're going to make a fancy boutique hotel. So I think I chose the right spot.
You did. Ah. You did.
Yeah. How far away is your house from your practice?
6 minutes if I hit the lights well. What's crazy is I'm addicted to coffee, of course. And so I was like, I really wish there was coffee on my way to work. And I think it was like 5 years ago, they built a Scooter's Coffee, which is Nebraska coffee, on the street. I go down the hill to the office. So it's like a quick loop and I can get a coffee too. It just all worked out.
Wow.
I love it. And children. Because in my intro, I didn't talk about that, but how many children you have?
I have 3, and the oldest is 13, which is insane. Like, I want her to be like, Mom, come tuck me in every night. But she's like, I'm good. Bye. Good night. You know, and the crazy part is my birth stories are kind of crazy. I had her in the hospital because after the twins, I was scared out of my mind, of course. And so I was induced and she came out blue, but she turned out okay because the cord was around her. So that was a little traumatizing. My second one is 9 now. And I was seeing 300 a week. My pelvic floor sucked. I had a lot of complications. And so she was cut out of me. C-section. And so then I thought I was good with 2 children. But then my mom moved back to my small town and I still liked my husband and work was great. I was 39 and feeling energetic. I'm like, I can do this again, you know? So I had her at home in a pool, which was super empowering. Like I climbed Mount Everest and she will be 3 on Friday.
Oh, wow. So wait, all girls?
All girls. That's all I get. The midwife said I could go to number 9 from what she's seen to get the other one. And I was like, no way.
We have 3 girls. And after the 3rd girl, Ron was like, I'm good. I'm done. And I was like, no. We have to go for a boy. And then maybe because our girls are all 2 years apart. So maybe they were like 2, 4, and 6. And one of my friends said, I want another baby. I really want a boy. I can't imagine going through life without a son. And she said was, do you want 4 daughters? And I didn't even hesitate. And I just went, I went, no, I don't.
Yeah, no.
So I was like, Ron, I think we're done now.
Yeah. Like, that's hilarious. Yeah, we had them spread out enough. Like they were 3.5 years before the first 2. But it took the middle one, the baby, to go to kindergarten for me to feel caught up on sleep that I could have a 3rd. So the 4th was never an option. I'm 42 now. I should probably say no.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's phenomenal. You know, and I believe that your second daughter,
yes,
with us at when we spoke, right?
Yeah,
and when I was at the office, and it was, yeah, she's amazing. You know, it's just so cool that to watch you live this lifestyle. I know that you have other businesses too, and it's just, you know, first of all, I just want to acknowledge you because it's inspiring. And what I love, and of course, being a dad of 3 daughters, you know, all have their businesses and things like that. What I love is just to be able to see women, you know, be empowered, not just in chiropractic, but in business. And especially in chiropractic, because I truly believe this. And I'm not saying this because of my daughters, but I think women are the true healers of the world. You know, when you give birth, you understand, or you're able to give birth, you understand the power of bringing life, and that sensitivity that's there is so, so powerful as compared to men who will just go and, you know, bang each other with bats and stuff like that. But not that men are useful, believe me, we are useful, but The thing that I love is just watching, hearing about like the empowerment of what you're doing, like, you know, different businesses, three daughters, you know, husband, you know, all these things that are happening. You know, how do you juggle it? Like, how do you keep it going besides the coffee? Because the caffeine has to wear off at some point. There you go. Never does, huh? Never does.
Pinkberry helps, but yeah.
But tell me, so how do you, like, you know, tell our viewers, like, how do you keep the balance going with it?
Yeah, balance doesn't exist. It's not a real thing. I've learned with time to live in the moment and to have control of my thoughts more than I used to, I guess you could say. So like right now in this moment, I am an interviewee on your webcast, period. That's it. When I walk in a room with a patient, I am a doctor, period. That's it. I'm a healer. When I go home, I am a mom. And, you know, it's hard to fully 100% leave work at work every time, but I do try my darndest, you know. And when I work on the business, I have a CEO hat on only. You know, I don't need to be necessarily a doctor in that moment. So wearing one hat at a time really helps me better live in the moment so that my plate doesn't feel full. Instead, I have just a platter. And whenever I'd like, I can put a different hat on is what I found to work the best.
Yeah. Yeah. And that compartmentalization, that's what I'm hearing, you know, is vitally important. And you know, they can bleed over because, you know, you run the house if you do, or you have these other things and things can happen while you're doing, you know, one thing and you've got seven balls that you that you compartmentalize. They can just start to intermix. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, and obviously, you know, your family takes priority over everything. I can imagine, right? Your yes. girls and, you know, and your husband. So, you know, has there been times where, and I believe you have an associate now, correct?
Yes.
But you were, but when I think when I saw you, when I was at your office, I think you were a single doc at the time.
I've had a couple associates, but none of them have stuck. And I'm okay with that, I guess. You know, what is to be will be. But the cool thing is I never really have advertised for employees. They all just came through me, at me through someone else. So even like with the businesses I start, okay, here's a crazy one. So before the drive-through coffee was on my way to work, I went to Starbucks. On the way from Starbucks to my office was this building for sale that used to be a daycare. And they really, really need daycare in my town. And they really need good daycare in my town. And my husband stays at home with my kids. So we're fortunate not to need it. But when I realized how many people need it, I was like, huh, there's a building for sale. All right. So I asked my assistant, my office manager now, do you know anybody who wants to run a daycare? She's like, oh, actually, my sister-in-law is pregnant with number four and would like to run a daycare. I'm like, really? So it was that easy. And then we just whipped it up. And like my other business, I coach chiropractors. People kept asking me for advice, asking who does my marketing because I do it all myself and all of that. So I just turned that into a business. My latest one, my 13-year-old just got up from the stinking dinner table, said nothing and walked to her room. I go, honey, you all done? You know? So I started an etiquette class and I found my friend Tina, who's a stylist, whose mom taught some etiquette and did etiquette. So she's going to run the etiquette class. So I've realized with all these things, if they come to me naturally, without stress, kind of organically, you know, then that's what I say yes to. And sometimes it feels too easy, but then I know I'm doing it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have a question. Because similar to you, it's funny that I heard you, how you talked about, like, I say the same thing, like balance is kind of like not what we're looking for. It's more like harmony, having everything work together. Mm-hmm. And my thing was also just being present, which is exactly what you said. You just said it differently. I wear different hats.
Yeah.
But I want to hear, and I want the listeners to hear this too. It sounds like everything's so smooth for you. It's so easy. Things come to you, right? Mm-hmm. What does overwhelm look like to you? And
messy. What's messy?
Please share with us what it looks like when you get overwhelmed. And more importantly, is like how you deal with that.
If I don't get enough sleep, that's the biggest reason why I would get overwhelmed. Yeah. If I don't have humans to help me, like with every business, I need another human to be in charge and I have to learn how to delegate things. The overwhelm is when my paperwork stacks up and I have a list to do as a CEO and it doesn't get done. And then I go home and I play with the babies. And then at 8:30 or 9, when they go to bed, I try to chip at it, but I'm exhausted. So then I get to it the next day and it's like, it's really just having enough time. And then I have to tell myself that, like, there's other things I want to do for my business if I had a whole free 3 hours, you know what I mean? But I never do. So I have to forgive myself and give myself grace to know that I am just one person. But It really helps me with overwhelm to be able to delegate things and to know that I have humans that I can trust to give things to help me with it.
Like, so for you, for instance, like your to-do list, I knock things off my to-do list, and then I add, like, I'll knock three off and then I'll add six on because, right? So, I mean, I guess your answer is yes to delegate, right?
Yes.
But if you can't delegate, like,
Yeah, use the most of every moment you have. You know, like even social media wise, I have 800 things I could post today, but I'm a really big nerd with an algorithm. And so you have to learn when is the right time to post and what is the best content to post and how to post it, you know, prioritize the to-do list. And you might even find that if you do something more important, it takes care of a less important thing. I hope that helps.
No, it does. It does. It does. And how about self-care? Because I think that as chiropractors, as mothers, as you know, a lot of the roles and hats that we wear, you know, self-care tends to be like last, especially as healers, you know. Unfortunately, and not everybody, but tends to be. What's your self-care look like?
Yeah, these days it's pretty good. I think having the baby in my belly at 39 after a C-section forced me to take great care of myself. So for the last 8 years, I've gone to yoga Tuesday and Thursday noon, period. I do not do anything else except yoga Tuesday, Thursday noon, and it's great physically and mentally. I have three massage therapists that rent at my office, so please don't ask me how often I get a massage, but it's really often. I have a patient I trade. She's an esthetician, so that's really fun too. I like music a lot. I like comedy a lot. So the husband takes me to comedy shows, and I'm from the home of Johnny Carson here in Norfolk, so we get some good comedians. So it kind of just takes me out of my comfort zone and out of my norm. Last time I sat in the front row, and it was like so out of my comfort zone. But doing things that take me out of my comfort zone and make me laugh really help too with self-care. And I love hanging out with my kids. It's so weird. Like, we hardly ever get a babysitter. And when we do, it's my mother, really, because I love them, of course, but I also like them. Like, the big one and I go to Broadway shows in Omaha together. The middle one just wants to go get her nails done with me. And the baby wants to go run around at the park. So it's fun to be in the moment with them. And I think after I became a mom, the first time patients would tell me that my physical touch got better and my adjustment got a lot smoother just as a mother, you know, but I can tell being physically involved and connecting more and more with my kids also helps me connect better with myself and with patients too.
I love
Oh,
it.
thanks.
I want you as my best friend.
Oh yeah, let's be friends, Mary. I just loved
Wow.
it. I'm sitting here and I'm looking at you, but I'm
You're
taking notes.
writing notes.
I don't know if I'll be able to read them later, but you've had such good, like, just really good things of, like, you know, like, you're again, you're making it sound like everything just falls into place, and I know that's not the case. So, but that, like, you gave such good nuggets of, like, yeah, when things are messy and when things are over them, that, like, what do you do? And I love that. I love that.
Yeah. And I've learned if you get a massage over the lunch hour, you got to give yourself a minute because sometimes the conversation is hard. But it's nice to know that, you know, if it's not a new patient, my hands kind of work on autopilot if I'm a little bit out of it. So that's good. That's great.
Oh well. Woo.
Well,
Well, listen, we're hitting that time right
I
now.
know we
We could
are.
go on and on. But I will tell you this, every one of our Life by Life West first timers, which you're a first timer, we always ask two questions at the end. And they're really simple. They're just whatever innate 30-second response, right?
Okay.
And just know it could be different tomorrow. It could be, if we ask the same question, it could be different tomorrow. So there's no right answer to it, but they're really, really cool. And people tend to love them. And people love to hear, you know, our viewers love to hear that also. So, Mary, I'll let you start with the first one.
The first one. Okay. So, with all your vast knowledge and wisdom that you have here today, if you could go back and talk to yourself the first day of chiropractic school, what advice would you give to Kim?
But if you don't think you can, you can't. So think that you can, and there is more power in your hands and in your voice than you realize.
Ooh.
That is amazing.
I love that.
That's amazing. Is that coming from like that you had said before that, you know, you're like a nerdy school kind of, you know, kind of person, you know, that kind of thing. You're very book smart, it sounds like, right? And you're brilliant anyways. But you're very, you know, you said you got the scholarship to Creighton. And for our viewers, Creighton is no easy school. I mean, Creighton, like, could be up there with the Ivy Leagues. Did you kind of go into that when you went to, when you started school? Were you kind of like just this, like, head in the books kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it was more like dad's shadow of sorts. Like, I just went to school and my dad's a chiropractor, so here I am, a chiropractor. I needed to find my individuality and my confidence on my own, kind of a thing.
Yeah, your own voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right, I got the second question. Similar, very similar. You know, where you are right now is Dr. Kim, right? But now you're going to be speaking or giving advice to Dr. Kim, who just graduated. Mm. And knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to the new graduate, Dr. Kim?
Yeah, I think I tried too hard to bring in new patients right away. Like, people want, like Mary said, you might want to just talk to me because I'm me. And when I go to things, I don't have to talk about chiropractic. I don't have to try to make you my patient. I don't have to seem desperate for getting patients. I just need to be and be a magnet and let it chase me instead of go chase it.
Yeah. Yeah. So what, so translate that into, and there's a lot there, which I love. What would you say to yourself?
Don't be scared to be yourself and go be loud. And if you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I learned the similar thing. I would go and talk to people as a chiropractor and I felt like pushy. So they probably sensed my uncomfortableness.
Yeah.
And then when I stopped doing that, they were just like, I like you. What do you do for a living? I'm a chiropractor. Good. I want to see you. It had nothing to do with health. Like, it's just like, I just want to come be around you. If I said I own a dry cleaner business, they'd go, good. I'm going to bring my shirts to you.
Yep. Exactly. And if you think of money as an exchange, where do you want to give your money? You want to give it to something that you like, something that inspires you. Yeah.
That's great.
And the truth is this, the truth is that, you know, in a lot of cities, you know, they can get adjustments, they can get anything in multitudes, right? You know, but it's who they're getting it from. And I think that's what people are looking for, right? They're looking for that.
Kind. Yeah. And you've got to have the results to back it up too. Like, right. I know you're running short on time, but I've got a patient and he doesn't mind me saying this. His uncle's a chiropractor, literally a block away from me, but he will come to my office and pay my expensive cash fee because it is that different. And like, I really like getting a baby with 100 and whatever fever come in and kick it so fast. So if the results speak, then they'll know you're worth it.
Right. That's right. And that's a great combination, right? Being that person that they trust, being that personality that they love, being someone who cares about them, genuinely cares about them, and you can deliver the goods. Mm-hmm. It's unbeatable. It's unbeatable, you know? Awesome. Well, thank you, Kim. It was great having you on the show today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you are wonderful. Just wonderful. And thank you to our viewers. Thank you for just coming in week after week. You know, these Life by Life West, we do them every other week. The opposite weeks, we drop our life leadership line. Our viewership continues to grow. And I think the reason it does grow, I know the reason it does grow is because you keep passing these on. There are a lot of people just today, you know, just what Dr. Kim talked about, you know, the Mary, you mentioned that the pearls of wisdom, you know, the things that were dropped. There's a lot inside that you can start unpacking. And there's people who just need to hear this. And so thank you for sharing it because it's really what it's about, right? Us being able to give due love and serve to others so that they can be able to then take that and grow as well. So thank you. Also, just so you know that as we move forward, we'll keep bringing you wonderful people like Dr. Kim. You'll see her book titles so that you can go check out on Amazon or wherever they happen to be. You can go see her book titles, just learn more about Dr. Kim for what's inside the bio. And, you know, Dr. Kim, once again, thank you. You got such great energy and thank you for your support of Bellevue for Life West Nebraska, you know, and I finally know where Johnny Carson is from because I knew he was from Nebraska, but now I know he's from Norfolk. So that's so cool. So to our viewers, until we come back at you again, just from Dr. Kim, Dr. Murray and myself, we'll bid you adieu and just, you know, keep loving those people around you and just keep remembering and keep sharing that everybody is much more powerful than they were ever led to believe. And if we can bring that power out, we just change the world that much faster. So until our next time, see you later and keep loving yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love,
commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.